I want to welcome you all to a special day, but I'm not going to tell you anything about it in my sermonette, except most of us here today have been baptized. Most. Maybe not quite all, but most of us have been here. And when you were baptized, what did you commit to? It's the question that I would like to answer in my sermonette. I know that you and I promised to do something. I know that we promised before we were washed clean of our sins. And in the cleansing water, whatever they were, I had the privilege of baptizing some people in the ocean and in the bay and in a swimming pool and, you know, all the different places. Whatever kind of water it was, it symbolized, that washing symbolized the removal of our sins. We made a promise. We made a promise when that occurred. We made a promise to our Father in heaven and Jesus Christ, his Son, our elder brother. They heard and they remembered. But the question I want to ask us all right now is, do you remember what you promised? Do you remember what you committed to? This is a big deal. Therefore, in this short sermonette, I want to remind us all of what our commitment was all about. If you wanted an SPS, that's it. I want us all to remember what our commitment was all about. Now, most of you, talking to modern people, most of you have handheld devices, Mr. Gardner. And I want you to put them away. I want you to put them away. I want you to put your handheld devices away, and I want you to listen to what I'm going to be talking about today. The first thing any of us did when we got baptized was we were counseled. What's that mean? We were counseled for baptism. Well, for Suzanne and I, we were counseled together, but when we were counseled, the person that did the counseling said, "Do you know who you are?" "Of course I know who I am, you know." "Do you know what you are?" "I don't." Uh-oh, this guy's going to ask some strange questions. And I said, "No, sir, why don't you tell us what we are and tell us a little bit more." And he said, "Well, this is not going to be a quickie. This is going to take several," and I'm not kidding, it's going to take several weeks. But some of you here today know that in the old days, it took several months. Well, Suzanne and I were quickified, and it only took a few short weeks. But that man wanted us to go through our past life and think of what we were. And I went, "I don't want to think about that." But he wanted us to. He wanted us to think about what we were, and it was mostly to admit that we were human. So we reviewed our past life and what we had been in the past, and that mostly came to the fact that we had been confused sinners. That took some time, and the minister who helped us called it baptismal counseling. What a neat name. But that's what it was. We were being counseled, Suzanne and I were being counseled, to undergo baptism. And it did take a certain amount of time. Now I want us all to read or listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8. To do that, I'm going to open my old beat-up Bible to Romans chapter 8. Hope I did this right. Okay, Romans chapter 8. And I want to, 6. See, with somebody in the back row shaking his head. Yeah, I wondered why my bookmark was on Romans 6, but with my eyes, without wearing my glasses, 6s and 8s kind of look the same. Oh, she's going to share them with me. But I have some in my bag, but I just didn't bring them up here. Okay, Romans 6, here we go. Starting at verse 3, and there's quite a bit I want to read here because it's all important. Romans 6, starting verse 3. Do you not know that as many of us, and I like how Paul says this, as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death? What? You know, the first time I ever read that, I went, they're going to kill me. I mean, I really wondered about that, those words. But let's keep going, and it'll make sense. Therefore, we were baptized with him, this is Jesus Christ, through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead 3 days later, by the glory of his Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So there's a lot to be said there, and I'm not going to discuss that now because I don't have enough time. But, verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. When you think about that, I will say this. When you think about Jesus' resurrection, that was radically different. That was radically different. When he was raised from the dead, the people that saw him, you know, the few humans that saw him, whoa, that guy's shiny. You know, that was different, especially when he came back from heaven. In the likeness of, okay, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that's the death part, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Look, if we don't have the body of sin, which we are, killed, figuratively, in the baptismal water, then we're not going anywhere. You got to go through it. Okay, lost my place. Has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, symbolically, we believe that we shall also live with him forever. I like that. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. See this guy up here talking to you? He's going to die physically or be changed. I know there is that chance. But I'm physical. This is metaphorical. I want to live with Jesus Christ and the Father forever. And I believe that. I believe that. If we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. And if we're with him, we'll have no more dominion over us. For the death that he died, and this is really important, for the death that he died to sin once for all. And I'm part of for all, and you're part of for all too. But the life that he lives to God. Now, do we live for God or to God? I hope so. I hope we do. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Therefore, and this is kind of the end where I'm going to stop. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it. I'm going to stop there. A lot of Bible that I'm not going to read, but I'm going to stop there. In short, Jesus died for all the sins that have ever been committed, listen to this, by all humans that have ever lived. And this too can be discussed after services, after message chat with a cup or two of coffee. But for right now, let's hit the high points and say, when Jesus died, he died for all of our sins. And we realizing that now that we know that, we must live as Jesus lived. That's hard to do, but it is a big part of what we made when we did our baptismal commitment. As I stated before, a commitment's like a promise, only it's stronger. As I said, you can go to your handheld device and it'll tell you the difference between commitment and promise, but don't do that. Don't do that right now. Do that after services. And because I'm doing okay and I haven't them jerked me off the stage, I'm not going to go into the finish that I was going to make. I was going to finish my message by showing one person who made a total commitment. And I'll just tell you who it was. It's kind of a half-in, half-out guy. Can any of you think? If you can think of somebody that made a total commitment, it's in the Bible, raise your hand. Come on. Not even my wife raised her hand. I saw Susan look at my wife for just a second. Okay, I'll tell you who it was. It was Samson. Samson was not a great guy. He was a good guy, but he wasn't a great guy. But he made a total commitment. And he made that total commitment when the walls and the everything came falling down around him. You know, that's total commitment. That's what God wants from us. God wants total commitment. So, I think I'll quit while I'm ahead and say, let's all remember the commitment that we made to our Father in heaven and our elder brother when we were baptized.